Today's thought is taken from Exodus, the 12th chapter and verse 49. And this is Tuesday, February 6th of 2024. Controversial subject. It's affecting the entire world today. An unbelievable satanic influence that has taken over, and it is being expressed in various ways in the United States of America, trying to bring literally America under control. To break its power so that the nations can be ruled through a globalist, well, I don't know what you say, it's United Nations, but that type of a beast. So it's an important subject, and it affects all Christians. And what's going to be stated here is no new light. It's something that any Christian that reads their Bible, pays a little attention to the news, knows. But we're just reassuring, to encourage your faith, to understand what is happening in our world. So, in Exodus 12, in verse 49, it says, speaking of the nation of Israel, one law shall be to him who is born at home, and to the stranger who lives as a foreigner among you. And the title of this discussion is Border Truth. So Israel was surrounded by many nations, but also many of them that hated them. It was their law, and we want to make this clear, it was their law that kept them separate from becoming like the nations around them. So, there was no mass flooding or invasion of their borders, and yet today we see many Christians taking Bible verses out of context about Christ, about the Jews, that somehow this is some virtue to allow millions of people into your country with no law, not even wanting to obey the law. And somehow that's something that God is. And that's what Christ is. Well, it's not biblical. It's not even close to being biblical. But it is certainly a feel-good thing to promote the continuation of a lie to manipulate through wicked spirit forces in heavenly places, the governments of this earth, and to convolute, confuse, and, of course, make Christians evil because they don't believe this lie, and fomenting them to where there'll come a time that this beast, when it gains control, we know in the book of Revelation, that it will attack religion and destroy it. As far as organized religion is concerned, any religion that is formed, we'll say, through government entities, as a Christian group that must depend on the bylaws and laws, what each government gives in the way of corporate power, in the way of non-profit organizations. And not surprisingly, there are many nonprofit organizations that these globalists, New World Health Organization, and other groups have set up as a sham, hundreds of them, to bring these migrants to the borders of the United States. And subsequently, that adds another problem because there are many in Washington, D.C. that are making vast sums of money and also get their power and their voting bloc through these nonprofit organizations, and they include lobbyists, they include all manner of help programs that are enriching themselves happily off of what the government's paying them to help facilitate health care and all kinds of freebies to these illegals. And then also you have the China, the CCP themselves, who are putting able-bodied men on the border here with the idea that there is going to be triggered, who knows, during the election year or what in the future, terrorist acts. In other words, they're instilling power, standing army, and other countries are too, all underneath the guise of this innocence of Christians must accept with open arms, open borders, and just have people come in. And of course, we know the outrage there is in this country against it. So anyway, I'm going to read some of the comments here. So foreigners at Israel's time of Exodus 12:49, and even today, are not flooding the borders of Israel. And you have to ask, well, why? Because they all had to live by one law, the same law. And what did the Jews not allow? According to that God's law? Freebies. You couldn't get freebies. You had to work. And of course, for Christians, doesn't it state clearly that if a man doesn't work, neither let him eat? It also states that if a Christian doesn't take care of their own household first, they've denied the faith. The Jewish law did not allow for murder. Didn't allow for false gods. Didn't allow for adultery, fornication, gluttony. Certainly not abortion. No stealing. No sexual uncleanness. No homosexuality. And in fact, if you want to read the laws, if a man dressed in woman's garb, he was stoned. And if a woman dressed in man's garb, the same treatment for her. So do you think if we had laws like that, that people would be wanting to become, and you had to obey those laws to become part of Israel? Do you really believe that people would be streaming to get in? They'd be running the other way, you see, because Israel was no part of that world. And Christians are going to have to figure it out sooner or later. They're supposed to be the same. They're not part of this world. It affects, the world affects them. So Israel had health cults. I mean, right down to eating certain types of meat, which were clean and unclean. But why? You say, well, we're not going to go into a big discussion of that, but it's very simple. They have proven by science, because they had no refrigeration, in hot climate, that the various foods that Israel was not allowed to eat, and God didn't get in and explain the science to them, that those things carried various parasites and diseases that would kill them and make them sick. So, like pork. Everybody knows that pork was an unclean meat, and you don't have to do much research and you'll find out. Many in this country died of trichinosis. It was a normal disease for much of the life of America until they started understanding what pork carries and how to cook it better and to refrigerate it. And you can go on many of these, such as there were clams and oysters and things that Israel would not have been allowed to eat. We eat them just fine today, but we also understand they are the last defense against things like bad tides that have red tides and things. The oysters will show up first with the contamination because they're on the bottom. Catfish would be another. It has no scales. It's eating up the trash, the stuff that is being cleaned out of the ocean. So they also would have to go to that temple and have their sins forgiven, if they even understood that they had sins. They had to have the sacrifices made for them. So in other words, it wasn't just open border. They had to want to come to Israel and be a convert. They had to be converted to literally be part of Israel. And even at that, there were positions they couldn't hold because you had to have lineage. That was the whole purpose of Israel, was to bring the Messiah's lineage. So, didn't mean God didn't love them. Didn't mean that God didn't want them treated fairly. It didn't mean that when people passed through the land, that Israel didn't treat them just like family. They fed them, made sure they're clothed, helped them along their way. But if you wanted to come and join the country, the nation, there had to be major changes. You had to get circumcised. That must be a painful process for an older man, not a child. You had to show that dedication. But they could never literally become part of the tribes of Israel and be a landowner in that sense. Couldn't become a priest. So it was not something that was desirable, that was for some. When they seen God and they started worshiping God, they seen what God did to Egypt and all of its false gods. When they seen how God dealt with his people around Jericho, there were some foreigners that said, hey, this is the true God, and they converted. Just like today, we're all foreigners until we are converted into Christ. So to think that Christ didn't understand borders and to make these assumptions and not have the facts or the context of what the scriptures are actually speaking is actually a denial. It's a denial of God and also our faith in Jesus Christ. You have to remember that Jesus was a Jew. Christianity came from Judaism. It didn't just sprout up. There was much work and process done by the angels and God not to intervene into mankind's affair, but at the same time, he had to protect his seed, that lineage of Christ, so that he could be the legitimate king of the Jews. He had the physical right to be a king of the Jews. That wasn't what Christ said. That wasn't why God sent him to this earth, but he had the lineage through David. And that's the reason Christ was only sent to Israel. He wasn't sent to the Gentiles. That happened later, after he was murdered and resurrected and made into the image of God. Then after a time, the Gentiles were open, and that's all you can find that. Excuse me, bad pronunciation. You'll find all that in the book of Acts, in other places. And that's where Paul comes in as the apostle to those nations, the Gentile nations, because he was masterfully trained in the law of Israel, and he could explain to people who didn't understand the law, like us. Most Christians don't understand the law, have very little understanding of it, just what they're told through their religion, so he could show the superiority of that new covenant over the old covenant. So the key point is here is the denial of what God is in Christ. Now we have to go into where we're headed, into the final book, the Revelation in the Spirit of the Day of the Lord. And there we find Christ again. And what is he? He is the new creation who becomes the King of the new Jerusalem above in heaven. And of course, we can find that in Revelation, the 21st chapter and verse 1. And I'll just read 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth has passed away. And the sea is no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. So we have a new heavens, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem, and all the former worlds, all the ruling powers in the heavens, that would be the wicked spirit forces, as well as the human beings in powerful positions, that's been passed away. Christ has come. He has dealt with that. And the earth, which would be the human race and the system of things that govern that, are now passed away. It's all fresh. And the sea, which is mankind, that always turns up badness and wickedness, that sea is no longer there. It's gone. And what we end up seeing in the scriptures, we see there's a great crowd that comes out of all this who have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. So we see the holy angels are involved. We see there's a great crowd. We know those that are ruling with Christ, the symbolic number of 144,000, maybe only 144,000, there's no way of knowing it, but everything is in symbolism. Many of the numbers that are in the book of Revelation, you should understand, isn't the literal numbers that you can count them off day for day. They are the intensity. It is the intensity of the trial. Such as you have the mark of a man as imperfect 6. But as this world becomes more corrupt, the beast then has 3 sixes. That is the intensity, the lowest level of corruption that is experienced in that beast. And man makes the beast. It gets its power from the sea, which is a human race. And it has many, many different colors and spots and heads because it's a conglomerate of corporate power, all these new laws that they're all coming together. Corporate, non-profit organizations, they're all coming together to give their power to this controlling arm that Satan has been pushing for, complete rulership over the earth, making it into finally a godless society after it breaks religion and spirituality. So, here Christ is the ruler of the New Jerusalem. And you can read down about it. You know that it has the gates. You can find that, I believe, 22nd chapter, I believe, of Revelation. It has gates. It has doors. It definitely doesn't allow just anybody. It may be in the 21st chapter of Revelation. I'm sorry. But anyway, in 21 of verse 8, we find the restrictions just magically, like you would have found in the original Israel, one law, because that's what Israel depicted, and the temple was a shadow of what the reality would be in heaven, so that we could understand it when Christ started ruling. And verse 8 says, but for the cowardly, the unbelieving, sinners, abominable, abominable, well, I can't say that word, abomination, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and the word sorcerer here also comes, is also included, users or portions and potions and drugs, idolaters, and all the liars, their part is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur. And what is that lake? It is a permanent second death from which there can be no resurrection. It's not a burning hell that God just continues to torture poor souls for no purpose for an eternity that is taught so sadly in false religion. But it is a permanent cutting off from any chance of life, so they can no longer affect or do harm. That means they have sinned against the Holy Spirit. It means that there was no chance for conversion. It means that they literally hate God so much that if given the chance, they would destroy him, which is impossible, we know. A little mime that I posted on this on the Jehovah's Witnesses Straight Talk. I'll read it. First, we overlook evil. Then we permit evil. Then we legalize evil. Then we promote evil. Then we celebrate evil. Then we persecute those who still call it evil. And that's a quote from Isaiah 5, verse 20, part A. Woe unto them who call evil good and good evil. So that's a thought, and of course we could go on and on regarding it. But there are many lying spirits and propaganda that also is part of the book of Revelation, makes clear. That's misleading the nations. And of course, we have to stand fast in faith, knowing that God does not lie. We know that Christ is the same today as he was yesterday, that they are both incorruptible, means they can't be corrupted by the politics or by religion or by somebody misquoting the scriptures. They don't change. It's humans that change. It is a shaking of the nations. So that's your encouragement for the day and my encouragement, and I hope you have a wonderful day. May you be found in the peace, the love of our Father, and particularly in his unmerited kindness, which allows us to have a hope, a relationship, and to rejoice in the Lord.